Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Not Half Bad, the podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball's return to some level of competence. I'm Norman Rose of Rumble in the Garden. You can find me at rumbleinthegarden.com. You can find me on Twitter at RumbleSBN, or you can find my more general tweets at EcoastBias on Twitter.
Yeah. And I'm Dave White of OnTheBanks.com, which is the Rutgers blog, and you can find me on Twitter at Dave_White. And it's another week, Norman.
It is another week. And I feel like these weeks, they're just kind of going on forever because we don't really have a lot of real substance to talk about. It's very hard for me to remember what date it is when it's not basketball season. Right now, it's just, you know, it's October something, and it's not Halloween. So these are just dates.
Yes, exactly. But well, next Friday. So next week we'll have at least, I don't know St. John's schedule, but we'll have at least one game to talk about.
Yes, I think actually we'll have two. St. John's is, preseason game starts around then. I think it's the second.
Yes, Saturday is your preseason game at
3 p.m. Saturday at 3 p.m. So. Against San Francisco State, one of the Steve Lavin schools.
All right, so it's been an interesting week at St. John's, hasn't it, for having no games?
Yeah, it's weird how, you know, we're a week away from games, and there's still a little bit of semi-drama. And you know, one piece of it is actual drama, and the other piece of it is just some kids spouting off because I don't really know why.
I don't know either, but yeah. He's been spouting off all over the place about all sorts of things.
And I don't even get it. So what Dave is referring to is the recruit, Isaiah Whitehead, that St. John's was hot and heavy about. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He's committed to Seton Hall. And this weekend were the Midnight Madness events for the Big East. In coordination with Fox Sports 1, the station that will be showing the majority of Big East games, the Midnight Madness events all happened on the same night so that Fox Sports 1 could do wraparound coverage, which was hosted by Tarik Turner, Bill Raftery, and I actually forget the third person, which is weird.
All right.
It was really all about Bill Raftery. And they did interviews with coaches. They did, a couple of look-ins at dunk contests and things like that. Something to get fans excited about the Big East as a giant unit. And and it was cool. It was fun. I watched about half of it, three quarters of it. I still need to finish the rest. I have it recorded. Yeah, it was a pretty good event. Mm-hmm. For most of the schools, there was a lot of excitement and good news. You know, Georgetown, for example, got a very interesting ruling, and they got a player eligible. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But on the bad side, St. John's, despite finally unveiling their hotshot freshman Rashid Jordan, also announced right before the game that Chris Obekpa, the game-changing center, they like to use game-changer, they even sell shirts with his name, with that name on it. Yeah, that happens. Chris Obekpa has been suspended for a couple of games for a undisclosed violation of university policy.
Boy, he must have really done something bad to miss out on Midnight Madness and two preseason games.
And two preseason games. Yes, that's his suspension. He doesn't miss any regular season games, which, you know, okay. I see why people could find that a little eye-rolly, I suppose.
Well, I think the problem is, I understand right to privacy and all that, but when you don't know what the kid did, it seems odd. Like, you can't decide whether or not the punishment fits the crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's just an undisclosed violation of college policy or whatever, school policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be really bad, which I think everybody tends to go to.
Yeah, like some sort of thievery, some sort of laptop thieving, like at UConn.
Yeah. So, or it could be, you know, I don't know, he cut a couple classes.
It could be.
And, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I mean, university policy, I mean, it feels sometimes like a dodge that can also cover, I don't know, I guess there's violation of team rules as well.
Right.
So, you know, you don't really know. I mean, maybe he just, you know, didn't do something.
Yeah.
School that, you know, you and I would probably never even get docked for if we were in undergrad, but
right. So I think that's why everybody's kind of rolling their eyes, because to him it could be a punishment, you know, where he'll get the point and he'll be at class on time if that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's bigger than that, then everybody's like, all right, they're just covering something up, and you know, the games are more important as usual. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I think that's where the eye roll comes from.
And in real truth, when I think about the roster and you think about what Chris Obekpa is quote unquote missing, he missed a scrimmage two nights ago. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to miss two exhibition games against two teams that are probably smaller and much less talented than St. John's, on a St. John's team that also needs to integrate Orlando Sanchez, who can also play a big man and block some shots. So Really, this is kind of a good way for the other big men to get some minutes and see what they can do. So, it's kind of not even really a suspension. It's sort of like, all right, let's just, we know what you can do, Chris Obekpa. You don't score and you block shots and you change the interior game. Let's see what the rest of the people can do in games that don't count. So it's not, it's not much of a punishment either way. But then, on the other hand, should a team be punished because one player does something stupid? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It is just weird.
That's why I just hate that violation of team policy and violation of college policy, because it's impossible to make a decision, which is probably what they want.
Which is good. I mean, I don't think that we should be in the position of, determining what's right and what's wrong with college athletes. And mm-hmm. we know from the discussions around paying or possibly paying college players that there are a very wide range of opinions about what is right and wrong involving college players and what should be expected of them. And honestly, some people have the Dan Dockich's of the world, the former Indiana coach who is often a real anti-paying player, very like rules and standards kind of guy, mm-hmm. Very Craig James of basketball, without the dead hookers. you know the dead hooker reference, right?
I do not.
Around Craig James is just kind of a joke smear campaign. Somebody just started tweeting or writing that nobody asks about Craig James and the dead hookers. this has been going on for years. So every time you hear Craig James, there's a reference to five dead hookers or something like that. It's kind of funny. It's kind of ridiculous.
But of all people.
In truth, he does have those skeletons. He did play on those Pony Express teams at Southern Methodist.
He does have those dead, soulless eyes.
And that too.
This is Not Half Bad, the Rutgers and St. John's basketball podcast. And I'm Dave of onthebanks.com. You can find me at Dave_White on Twitter. And my co-host is Norman, and you can find him at ecoastbias on Twitter. And he's of Rumble in the Garden. Anyway, rules and Obekpa.
Rules and Obekpa, yes. I mean, I do think, though, that there are a lot of people out there who feel like college players should have a set of rules that apply to them that don't apply to the rest of the college population, or that sometimes don't even apply to the pro population, That you have these, that playing college sports is such a right that, you should do everything properly. And honestly, I didn't really know a lot of people who went to all of their classes in undergrad,
Exactly.
That's not a thing. It's just not a thing. And now that, there's more stuff online, I can definitely see how a lot of kids would be like, I need to sleep in a little bit, And that's also part of the management of life. You don't do everything perfectly, I guess. Whatever. I mean, it's a thing, and we'll see if it's a regular thing, that if Chris Obekpa is somehow not meeting his academic standards, and that'll be a problem.
Yeah, it's not a problem now. If it happens again, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And he's such an integral part to St. John's defense. They took such a step forward in two-point defense from 2011-12 to 12-13 just by inserting Obekpa in the lineup and having a guy who can get in there and block shots off the ball. He's decent on the ball as well. So, he's a pretty significant big man in their system. And without him, I don't know what the defense looks like.
Right.
But, that's Chris Obekpa. And, other than that, St. John's seemed to have a very good Midnight Madness, Red Storm tip-off, as they call it, a celebration. And Rutgers, they had none.
Well, they had a football game yesterday. So.
I just like to. Oh yeah, how did that football game go?
Yeah, I don't care.
Was there a guy named Gary Nova? Did he do something really awesome for the other team?
Jeez.
And they lost to, what was it, Florida State, right? That was a team that put up a lot of yards and points, right? Florida State?
It was, Houston. I just don't know what happened, really. It wasn't.
Well, they are from Texas, you know, so they've got better talent.
Yeah, that must be.
Russia's basketball is coming, right?
Yes, thank God.
Ooh. What's new with Eddie Jordan and Rutgers hoops? And did he say anything about the offense or the defense?
Yeah, they
is
did
it
have.
Than the football's offense and defense?
As I said on Twitter yesterday, there were more turnovers in that game than there was on Kevin Willard's roster last year. Rutgers had their media day this week. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about Jordan. They kept asking him about the Princeton offense, and he got a little ornery about it. Is, you know, if you've ever seen Eddie Jordan speak, him being ornery is, you know, kind of like.
He's not an ornery man at all.
He's not. No, I don't even know how to describe it. He basically said, don't call it just call it an offense. Mm-hmm. And I think he, with the roster he has inherited and kind of built on the fly, I don't think he has, Jerry Carino said this, he doesn't have enough shooters to actually run the Princeton offense that he wants to run. So, no.
He has Miles Mack.
He has Mack. He has Seegers, and he has J.J. Moore.
But Seegers also isn't that great of a shooter.
Seegers at one point was leading the Big East in three-point shooting during the Big East season.
Okay.
But I think he missed a bunch when Carter went down. So, but he's got some shooters. I don't know. There's a junior college player, Craig Brown, who's another wing, who's apparently been shooting it really well in practice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he's got four shooters, but I don't know if that's enough for the offense he wants to run. So he keeps saying they're going to run like a what was the word he used? Smorgasbord. So you'll see some Princeton, you'll see a lot of running, or so he says. And,
he's a Swedish basketball chef.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And now I want to do a meme.
I think you should.
Yeah. Eddie Jordan's face on the Swedish Chef and just basketballs and Mild Max,
just
Miles
like
Max
basketballs
face.
Basketballs in a pot, you know.
Yeah. So he wants to run. He said something about the 76ers offense, which I didn't really understand. Offense? I think he meant like when he was there and got fired.
Oh.
So I don't really understand that reference, but I think the plan is to play a lot of pressure defense and press a lot to make up for the small guards, mm-hmm. and then try to really like turn the ball over and get out on the fast break.
You think he can do that with this team?
I think it's really his only option.
Okay.
I think slowing it down would really be a problem. Just because the guards are so small, and in the American, there's so many good guards, mm-hmm. that I think his best chance is on defense is to press and kind of try to create some havoc and some turnovers.
So on Rutgers, I see that the there are two players with a steal rate over two returning players with a steal rate over 2%, which is, you know, good. You kind of want to be over 3.
Yeah.
And actually, the both of these players are over 3, and that would be Miles Mack and Malik Kone.
Kone, really?
Yeah. But Kone also played a very, very, very limited set of minutes. So it's hard to say how much of that's accurate and how much of that is just playing against weak opponents, let's say. But, Kone seems to have good athletic defensive markers. You know, he's got a solid block rate. He's got a good steal rate. So maybe, you know, the two of them can force some turnovers, and mm-hmm. Jerome Seegers can become a lot better at forcing steals because he was not.
Yeah. No, I think what's going to happen – actually, you want to know what I think? That Jordan, coming from the NBA and these new rules that they're talking about, the foul rules.
Mm-hmm. The hand checks,
The hand checks and stuff are really going to kind of play into Rutgers' favor.
You think that'll draw a lot of fouls in their favor, being that they're going to try some backdoors and such, or what?
I think Jordan's used to coaching in a league where there's a foul called every 8 seconds, in the NBA. And I think he'll try to take advantage of that. So with a lot of backdoor cuts and, you know, Mack can get to the hoop, Seegers can get to the hoop, so that finishing through contact, I just think he'll be able to, knowing the NBA, it's the one advantage he has going to college is that he'll be able to exploit that quicker than, say, some of the other coaches will be able to, who are used to, you know, college coaching and, mm-hmm. and more physical defense. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be his advantage. And if he runs some hard cuts, you know, some angles, some getting the post players, early touches, he'll be in good shape.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know. I mean, people keep asking me on Twitter what I think about this team, and I really can't say until I see at least Friday's game.
And there's been so much turnover, too. I mean, who do you have left? I mean, you have Eli Carter gone, Dane Miller's gone, Wally Judge is gone, right?
No, Judge is still there.
Oh, Judge is still – I can never remember if he's there or not because it's sort of not – it doesn't matter. And
right. Well, he talked about going to the NBA, trying to enter the draft.
Yeah.
That team, if Mike Rice had stayed, was going to implode anyway.
Yeah.
If you read some of the stories, which mm-hmm. surprised me because, well, I mean, Coach Speak, he said different. But, so who's still there? Jack?
Jack Judge. Yeah, Miles Mack. Malik Kone.
And Kone. Are the ones who are still there.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of new faces and a lot of new integration.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a feel for this team at all. I do know that, you know, those four players were supposed to be the core,
mm-hmm.
Especially before Eli Carter committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that this has always been the year that Mike Rice was pointing towards.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really have no idea. I couldn't look through the schedule and predict wins and losses except against the Cupcakes.
Hey, but this is part of the fun, you know? It's actually a crapshoot.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think a crapshoot is better than, you know, what we've been sitting with.
Yeah.
Because you've always been looking. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, there's not much going on with Rutgers this week, despite the media day. Greg Lewis is back too, and he's apparently built up, and a lot of people think he's ready to blow up.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's healthy, and he was predicted. I had heard that when he was recruited, that besides Mac, he was the key player to get when they were recruiting mm-hmm. that first class.
He's a big man, right? He's good, 6'10" and kind of broad, right?
6'10", 260, all muscle apparently now. Mm-hmm. He came in at 220, so he's put on like 40 pounds of muscle in his 3 years.
It'll be kind of nice if you know, Jordan can motivate him to just play past Wally Judge, because Wally Judge has been so disappointing. He's a guy who gets a lot of minutes, and sometimes you really forget that he's on the court for a guy who is supposed to have a dominant set of low post skills or inside out skills with low post upside.
Yeah, we've talked about Judge before and how they're going to play Judge at center mm-hmm. on offense just to keep him close to the basket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I tend to wonder how Judge is going to respond this year, because if you look at his two previous coaches, it was Frank Martin and Mike Rice, mm-hmm. two, you know, crazy intense screamers.
Yeah.
So, and I think we talked about this before, how well is he going to respond to, you know, the nice guy approach?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what to expect. I don't know what you think of the team.
I mean, I think that they'll be – I've said what I think of the team. I think that they're interesting. I don't know that I would go out of my way to watch them necessarily. That's not true. Actually, I would watch Miles Mack, and I don't know what's going to happen up front, because I think that there are two just kind of low-motor forwards in Kadeem Jack and Wally Judge. And I'm actually pretty impressed at how low-motor they've been consistently. They're two talented guys, but they look like they kind of maybe don't know what they're doing. So it'll be nice to see somebody who maybe does know what they're doing in there. And from there, I don't know. I mean, there's not mm-hmm. a lot of like punch or excitement, but I think that they could be a good, solid, grinded out team that surprises you.
Yeah. I mean, they were predicted 10th. I don't think they're a 10th place team.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN had an insider, article where they kind of ran through, I forget the guy's name. Hold on. Do you know?
No.
Dan Hanner.
Mm-hmm. Hanner's order of finish, yeah.
Order of finish, and he predicted Rutgers
100th.
By 100th overall and 6th in the American.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take that. Ken Pom came out, I guess, recently this week with his preseason rankings, and he has Rutgers at 107 and 7th in the American. So nobody – I mean, the coaches seem to think Rutgers is 10th, or, you know, the coaches' interns that did the voting. But nobody else seems to think they're going to finish there,
which is good.
Yeah, so I honestly – I mean, I have no idea. No idea.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I'll hopefully be able to talk more about it next week, unless Caldwell College somehow beats them in a preseason game, in which case we won't have a podcast because I'll be MIA.
You're like, no!
No!
Et cetera.
I'll be the biggest Caldwell Cougars fan you can find.
So it's a good that you pointed out Ken Pom's preseason rankings, because I actually hadn't looked at those yet. For St. John's, Dan Hanner has them at 44 and fifth in the Big East, which would be, you know, right on the edge of a NCAA tournament berth. And interestingly, Ken Pomeroy has them at 18 and 12 projected and 8 and 10 in the league, which may or may not be, you know, fifth in the league. So that's kind of fascinating, you know?
Are you on Ken Pom right now?
I am on Ken Pom right
now. What is he predicting Rutgers is going to fin- – what is he saying their record's going to be? I don't see that.
All right, hold on. He is predicting 14 and 14, 7 and 11 in the conference.
Oh, well, I'll take – oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. I think there's two more games in there. So
– are they part of a tournament?
Yeah, the preseason NIT.
Oh, that's probably the problem. If you're if you have games that aren't yet scheduled, then those aren't tossed into that hopper yet.
I see. Now that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very. It is. This is actually very, very interesting to look at because he's predicting. You know, St. John's offense isn't going to improve much, which I think Dan or is going to improve a bit, but not as much as it needs to. And Dan Hanner did the same. And he's predicting the defense to improve a little bit. And I think both of those are very logical predictions because St. John's offense was just wrong-headed all year. They took a lot of, you know, deep two-pointers. They didn't get to the rim enough, and they don't shoot threes. So the things that need to change for St. John's are basically find three-point shooters, which would be, you know, Marco Borgo coming off the bench on occasion to hit a three, Max Hooper having 10 minutes a game and hitting, you know, let's say two threes in each game, D'Angelo Harrison being able to hit and score points and draw fouls, and then getting Jakar Sampson to do, you know, something efficient inside the arc, and Rashid Jordan's ability to break things down to also get people more efficient shots. It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to change.
Jordan's going to help you with that.
No, I mean, they're excited about Rashid Jordan and his and Felipe Lopez, the famous Dominican star who – or Washington Heights star who came to St. John's from 94 to 98. He was on campus for the alumni game and was saying some pretty nice things about Rashid Jordan and about the excitement of having this, you know, high-end recruit come into a team with talent, which honestly, you know, Felipe Lopez didn't. He came to a team that was, you know, a little lacking – and was expected to lift the team up. You know, he got the cover of Sports Illustrated and all that, and he just never quite was good enough to lift that team out of the doldrums because he wasn't a point guard. You know, he was a wing.
I always take it with a grain of salt when a player comes back and says nice things.
Of course.
You know, Mike Dabney came back and talked about to Rutgers for media day and talked to Jordan about how he is the it's the most athletic team he's seen at Rutgers in the last 15 years or something like that. And, you know, who knows if that's true or not, you know, I mean, 15 years ago, I mean, they did go to the NIT final with a pretty athletic team with Doobie and Hervé Lamazana and that sort of and Marquise Webb. So
but they have had, you know, athletic teams that just haven't done a lot. So
yeah. So who knows when people come back and say nice things.
So, and it's nice. We appreciate it.
But speaking of people who didn't say nice things.
Oh, do we have to talk about this?
Probably my favorite stories of the week are Isaiah Whitehead run in his mouth.
Oh, God almighty.
First, you know, he and was it Kadeem Carrington? You know, Seton Hall's two big recruits that are coming in next year are already talking.
Both Brooklyn guards,
Brooklyn guards, not, you know, not just, hey, we're going to make Seton Hall better. We're going to get to the NCAAs. We're going to be fun to watch. No.
Whitehead throws out a, really, nobody in New York City goes to St. John's unless you love the city. What does that even mean?
That's I don't know.
That's the weirdest quote.
I don't know. And they're saying they're going to the Final Four. Just stop.
Just, I mean, it's great that it's great that the young people have a lot of faith in what they're doing, but sometimes, young people, you've got to think a little bit before you speak.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, A, whatever, you want to believe you're going to the Final Four, that's fine, but this should not be a news story. Mm. All right? This should not be plastered all over my my Twitter feed. Well, because they're not going to the Final Four.
Yeah, but I mean, it's you got to fill content, you know, in the off season with stories, and people like storylines. People like bluster and conversation. And if you're trying to write like 10 stories a day,
that's
true. Makes it in there, you know.
Yeah. Knowing my Seton Hall jinx, they will be going to the Final Four because I just said they're not going to the Final Four. But what's the deal? What's the deal with him trashing St. John's? What did they not offer him?
Man, you know? I don't know. I do not know. It does not make any sense at all. It at a certain point he should just be like, yeah, I made my choice. Peace. Instead, you know, he feels the need to yammer on about a team that he's not going to. You know, I guess to denigrate them a little bit, and I'm not really sure why.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there. Did they not want to hire Tiny Morton?
No, they didn't want to hire Tiny Morton.
Aw.
Because they have a staff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're not – Lavin, you know, has a very talented team. I don't think – unless he really disappoints this year, I don't think his job is on the line.
No.
I don't get it, Isaiah.
I don't get it, kid.
So this has been not half bad. I don't know what number episode it is, but it's Bye. October 27th, and it has been not half bad. I'm Dave White of OnTheBanks.com, the Rutgers basketball blog. You can find me at Dave White on Twitter.
And this has been Norman Rose, or it still is Norman Rose. You can find me at RumbleInTheGarden.com, where we cover St. John's sports all over the realm. If you have any questions for us, of course, you can always email us at NotHalfBadPod@gmail.com. And otherwise, reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at RumbleSBN or EcoastBias. Dave's at Dave_White. And we're always happy to hear from you.
Yeah, and next week we're going to have games to talk about.
It'll be so nice. Also, for the people out there, please find us on iTunes and give us a rating, preferably a positive rating, as we build our podcast.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.